There is one type of networking which is by far the worst type of networking on the planet. Doesn't matter if we're talking about traditional networking or if we're talking about social networking like LinkedIn and things like that. And it's when you inadvertently give your network the finger. The worst part of it is you may not even realize it, and you might not even realize that I'm talking about you. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So, man, I dumped some heavy-duty stuff on you there when I said that the worst type of networker might be this person who's inadvertently giving their network the finger. And then, like, I kind of point my finger at you and say, hey, it might be you, and you might not even realize it. So let me give you a scenario that happens quite a bit, not only to me, but I've had discussions with so many people who are serious about networking who, like, lay this out for me almost verbatim. So here you are, you connect with someone, and you've just connected with them. Again, it doesn't matter if it's on LinkedIn or if it's in a traditional sense, but just for the heck of it. Let's say this happens over on LinkedIn, and you connect with them on LinkedIn, and then you remember your manners, and you send them a quick little note through LinkedIn. Just the gist of it is kind of a nice to meet you. Nothing salesy. You're not in their face. You don't send them some War and Peace type of thing. It's short and sweet and very courteous. Nice to meet you. And then there's crickets. There's nothing. So then, a little while later, you send, and when I say a little while later, I don't mean like 10 minutes later or a day later. Maybe a few weeks later, month and a half later, you send them a no strings attached resource, something that's helpful to them, like a link to a website or a free report or something, and even an idea, something that in essence you're saying, hey, here's something for you. Don't expect anything in return, but here, nothing. You don't hear anything back from them. Then maybe you ask them a question, nothing. Then you get these little alerts on LinkedIn, like to wish the person a happy birthday. Maybe it's a work anniversary. Maybe they started a new job. Maybe they've been promoted. And once again, you are doing something that's just like completely like crazy. You're trying to be social with them on a social network. Imagine that. How dare you? And once again, nothing. Maybe they post something on LinkedIn. You get in there and you leave a comment. Nothing. You kind of notice, by the way, a little bit of a trend here. They're not very good at responding. So the first question that I have for you is this. I want you to be honest. Nobody's around. Nobody's going to go and out you for doing this. But is this you? Do you tend to be really shitty at responding to people like that are in your network, whether it be your social network or your traditional network? Now, I know what you're thinking, and I'm with you. I really am with you on this. I don't want you to think that this is like something that I want you to go around through life hanging your head, or you suck, or you're a loser for doing this. I just want to call your attention to something that you might be thinking, well, you know what? I've been busy. Well, I mean, congrats. I mean, like, aren't we all busy? Like, do you think the rest of us are just sitting around playing with the dinger on the cash register, just like nothing to do, sitting out on the porch playing checkers and shit, like just like waiting to pass the time? Like, you're the only one who has a monopoly on busy? So you might be busy. Or the other thing is, which I think is really shitty and shallow, which, you know, like, I really shouldn't put those two in the same sentence because, like, I mean, like, that's a tongue twister waiting to happen. Shitty and shallow. There, I've said it again. Hope you're happy. I'm so annoyed at this, but no, kidding. No, I'm really not kidding. I am annoyed at this, but I've taken my meds today, so we're kind of cool. But, I mean, you know, like some of you might be thinking, but, you know, there was no need for me to respond. I didn't need anything. I really want you to think about how shallow that is. And by the way, you're not alone. There's a lot of people who feel that way. Well, there's no need to respond to this person. I don't need them. I don't need what they're selling. Well, like, were they really selling you something at that point? Or were they trying to actually, like, be social with you? Again, how dare they be social with you on a social network? And I want to be clear about something. This isn't like people like me getting all kinds of, like, butthurt and our little feelings getting hurt. It's a matter of, like, what are you thinking? I mean, do you realize that you've connected with someone, whether you've initiated or they have? And I actually think if you initiated that contact and you just proceed to, like, ignore them, then I really think you should hang your head. Like, what the F were you thinking? Somebody needs to tell you that. That's, like, kind of effing stupid, right? I mean, seriously, like, why would you connect with someone if you don't have the time to interact with them? And I get that things pop up and life and all this and that. I get that. I really do, because I have it happen to me. But I mean, when you look back at the history and you realize when you go to send them, like, this type of people an email or something like that, and you look, and I've honest to God had this happen recently, where I'm sending out a resource and I'm looking and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, like how LinkedIn will show you like all the emails you ever sent them, right? Through, like, they call them in-mails over on LinkedIn. All the in-mails you've ever sent them. And I had something recently, and I've had this quite a bit. I'm like, I have been sending them stuff since 2015, man. We're at 3 years and not one time. So, like, they've been busy for the last 3 years. So I really don't buy bullshit excuses like I've been busy. And to me, if you're that busy, don't be a part of it. But I do want to say something while I'm up on my soapbox. I think it is a limiting practice, what I've just laid out. It's not a matter of right and wrong, and my way is better, and if this is you, you should feel bad and you suck. It's just that you are not building any equity that way. I need you to understand that. You need equity. You need to build relationship equity with people, because sooner or later, you may need your network, but really, if you're working your network right, you will need your network. So let me explain those two things. You might need your network. I mean, have things ever changed in your life where all of a sudden you find yourself out of work, or maybe you fell out of love with the company that you're working for? Wouldn't it be nice to have a network of people that can kind of help you along? Have you ever needed advice? Wouldn't it be nice to have some people in your network who could help you? But here's the part of it where I say you should need your network. Like, you absolutely should be doing what I'm about to say. If you're in sales, you could be leveraging your network not only to, like, sell to them, right? That's probably where you thought I was going. Like, yeah, to sell to them. Well, yeah, that's part of it. Of course that's part of it. But more importantly, everybody knows something, or everybody knows someone. Everybody, like, imagine that. Everybody knows something. Wow, that is a shocker. I thought everybody knew Dick, like they knew nothing. But anyway, seriously, everybody knows someone. And if I'm working my network properly, part of my pre-call planning research should be to stop by LinkedIn, look that person up, kind of look at their online resume, see who they're about, and see if we have any mutual contacts. And if we do, and if I know you and you know me, wouldn't you be a little bit more likely to, like, accept, like, a phone call from me, or like a request that we jump on a call? Because if I lay my cards on the table and say, listen, I know that you know Mary Jones, and I'd like to talk with her about possibly doing some sales training. You know, is it possible that you and I get on a quick phone call at your convenience? I'd like to learn a little bit more about this person and also see if you would be comfortable enough in facilitating a warm introduction. Now, first of all, I can get insight into this Mary Jones that I'm never going to get from any Google search or anything like on LinkedIn or anything else. I am going to get insight from someone who knows them. Think about that, how valuable that information is. I could learn about leadership style. I could learn about just, like, I've had people tell me, hey, Paul, you're going to love this person. They have your personality. They're also from New York or whatever. I've had other people say things to me that are a little bit on the sad side, but it's just good for me to know. People have told me, hey, Paul, you know, you remember how your wife had gone through breast cancer a number of years ago? Well, this person also had that. You guys have that in common. Paul, you know how you're passionate about, you know, St. Jude and the Cancer Society and things like that? This person also volunteers for them. So, like, I've even had people tell me, this person is also a big metalhead like you and is a guitar player or whatever. These things are usually not things that people are going to put on their LinkedIn profile. So I get all that, right? I get all that information. These are things I can keep in my back pocket. And it's also going to boost my confidence because I'm going to feel like I know this person. That I'm not, I felt like I was getting emotional there. I just kind of actually really got choked up. I don't mean like sad choked up. I'm chewing a cough drop and I almost choked to death on the podcast, which is probably one of the ways I'd like to go out if I'm going to go out. I choking to death on my podcast, so long as we can get this out there, I think would be amazing. And I would hope, at the very least, if I did choke to death on my podcast, that you guys would give me one hell of a good rating. And Jack Castain, man, he went out like a real, I mean like a real rock star. He's awesome. But anyway, I digress. So the other thing, though, is if you can give me a warm introduction instead of me calling them cold, that's incredible. So that's what I'm saying. Sooner or later, you should be like leveraging your network. You should need them. And quite frankly, they should need you. And like any other relationship, it really doesn't work too well if we only give a shit about people when we need something from them. And let me ask you guys an honest question. Again, please don't answer, because you're going to look like kind of idiotic talking at your computer screen or your phone or like to yourself in the car. Unless you're from New York and we all talk to ourselves and give each other the finger and you're going to fit right in. But, I mean, like, how do you feel when a friend only calls on you when they need something? They need to borrow a few bucks, or they need, you know, a neighbor needs to borrow some tool that you have out in the shed, which my neighbors know not to ask me for tools because I'm useless when it comes to that stuff. Plus, my shed looks like it's about to fall down. So I don't think anybody wants to be responsible for the collapse and like, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, but how do you feel? Maybe it's a family member. They only keep in touch with you when they need something. A friend, only when they need something. But they blow you off the rest of the time. I mean, do you really feel like they're a true friend? Because I don't. I really don't. I'll be the asshole here and say it. I don't. And with my network, I have it all the time. People blow me off. And I feel a need to say this again. My feelings aren't hurt here. In fact, you're probably thinking, well, when they need something, right, you get to give them the finger back. I really don't. But I say to myself, I wonder how many people, because I can't be the isolated one that they just said, I just won't respond to Castain. They, like, if you were to go through their profile, you would see when they post things, they just don't answer people. They just go through life thinking that they don't have to put any effort into this. And I say to myself, how many people really even knew who they were? Let alone just like we're willing to help them. So you really don't want to be that guy. The second thing, this next part, I don't think is going to be as easy. Not that the first part was so easy, but do you continue to keep someone in your network if they're doing this to you? Because for some of you, I may have just called you out, right? When I said, you know, are you this person who's not responding to people? Because, you know, again, you're giving them the finger. I don't care what your excuse is. They're not sitting there saying, oh, I bet they have a good excuse. They're saying, this asshole is not getting back to me. They don't respond. They're not serious about this. And then when you need them, they're not going to be there for you. But now the other part of it is, if you're the person who has these types of people in your network, do you continue to court a person like that? Do you keep them there? Now, a lot of people, the big popular response to that question, and the question again is, do you continue to court someone like that? Do you continue to keep a non-responsive contact in your network? The big popular answer is, what's the harm? I beg to differ. I do think that there's harm. Again, my job here is not to take the popular response and be everybody's buddy. I just want to, like, show a side to this where I think there is harm in it. So first of all, I think that when you continue to look the other way, you are enabling that behavior. And to me, again, I don't want to sound like some kind of social networking purist or traditional networking purist, but I really do believe it defeats the purpose. If we're going to be non-responsive, the whole point of a network is to have a group of people working together. And in order to work together, I think a very basic foundation of that is responding. I mean, that to me should be in the networking 101 part, the part that we should all do a group duh in response to. So that's the first part of it. So again, what's the harm? Well, I do think that there's harm in it, because part of it is that you are enabling that type of behavior. Secondly, I think that there's harm in it because if you continue to have someone like that in your network, I believe your network is a reflection of your character. So I want to be able to gladly introduce people as needed. So somebody comes along to me, because remember before I was talking about a scenario when I wanted to meet Mary Jones. So what about when, you know, Bob Smith comes to me and says, hey, Paul, I notice you're connected with this whoever this person is. Could you, you know, tell me about them? Or could you do a warm introduction? If I have someone who just is non-responsive, I am not going to introduce them. I'm going to explain to them. I'm going to say, listen, you know, I'm really concerned with how I look in this whole thing. I got to be honest with you. Plus, I need you to know this person sucks when it comes to, like, actually, like, having relationships with people and actually responding. For all I know, they could have gone through some horrific thing. I don't know. But they've been going through this horrific shit for 3 years because they've been connected since 2015. And, like, somebody must have smashed their fingers because they've been unable to respond to me. So I'm going to say that. But your network is a reflection of your character. Also, I think keeping someone like that in a network where you are active with your network. And when I say active, I don't mean just like liking and sharing shit. That's really, to me, if you think that's being active with your network, that's kind of the showy shit. Seriously. That to me is almost effortless, like clicking a like on something and sharing it. It's about a 6 second transaction. I'm talking about actually taking time to reach out to people in your network, suggesting that maybe you get on a phone call, trying to send resources to them, that kind of thing, trying to interact with them. That these types of people who continue to give the finger inadvertently they're a waste of my time and resources, because again, take that person since 2015. You look and you see religiously every month and a half, I'm sending them some type of resource. Nothing. So each time I do that, it's a waste of my time. Each time I ask them a question, it's a waste of my time. Each time that I try to interact with them with something that they post and then they just blow it off, it's a waste of my time. So I do think there is harm in that. So I guess the final part of this is, like, how do you weed these people out? If you have them in your network and you do what you want with your network. If you completely disagree, keep them there. But if you're like, yeah, okay, but yeah, how do I kind of get, like, know who to get rid of? Well, this is one of the reasons why I enjoy sending out a resource every 4 to 6 weeks through LinkedIn. I like to do it right through the LinkedIn platform. So the people that I'm connected with on LinkedIn, every 4 to 6 weeks, heck, you could do it every 6 to 8 weeks. And I send some kind of resource, like, hey, I came across this really cool app for salespeople. Check it out. Or, you know, here's a website that has all kinds of really cool things in there that might be helpful, some travel tips and all kinds of great things for people like road warriors. Check it out. Sometimes I send my own things as a resource. Like, here's a link to, like, where you can get free access to 300 of my podcasts that I've done. No charge. Here it is. Or here's a really cool guide that I came up with for free that you can download, how to hire a sales coach. So the first thing that I do is I send these out every 4 to 6 weeks. And then what I do is I check the email chain and I look at how long I've been emailing them on LinkedIn and if I've ever received a response. But this is really, really important, and it's something I haven't conveyed up until now. And I want to be very, very clear on this. I give complete benefit of the doubt because, yeah, somebody could be going through something. Somebody could have just, you know, God forbid, there could have been a death or a sickness or something like that. And I get it. So I give benefit of the doubt. But now I'm kind of making a mental note of it. Now, 6 to 8 weeks later, it's now, or 4 to 6 or 4 to 8 weeks later, it's time for me to send a resource again. I look, and if I see they still haven't responded to me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of ask a question. And what's beautiful about asking questions is that if ever you want to increase your response rate, whether it be in social networking, traditional networking, the emails that you send out, things like that, ask a question at the end of whatever it is that you've written or said or whatever. Ask a question at the end. You're going to dramatically increase your responses. So I'm going to ask a question. If there's still nothing, then the next time, now keep in mind, from the time I flag this now to the time that I'm actually going to start taking action, we're talking about a few months. So there's no way you can accuse me of like being unfair here and like, you know, they looked at me the wrong way. Ah, and you're gone. You're out of my network. I'll show you. So if I've asked you a question now at this point, and you haven't answered me, then what I want to do is I'm going to ask you another question. This question is going to be direct. It's going to be professional. I'm not going to have like, it's not going to have a tone to it. But the gist of that is going to be, hey, is everything all right? I've tried to reach out to you a few times and I haven't heard back from you. Could you let me know if you're still active here? Because if you're not, I just, you know, it might not be a good idea for us to continue to be connected because I'm really here to interact. So could you let me know either way? I just didn't want to, you know, assume something. You know what they say about assuming. And that's basically it. Now, if after that, I don't hear from them, I drop them like a bad habit. Seriously, I do. And again, I have a need to be very, very clear here. This isn't me thinking that I'm going to show you. I'm going to drop you from my network. Like, oh my God, oh, the humanity. I've been dropped from Castain's network. Oh, this is a dark, dark day. What has driven us to this lowly state? I mean, like, who gives a shit if I drop you from my network? I'm not doing it because, like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to be spiteful and remove you from my network. It's just I don't have the time or the inclination to court somebody who just has shitty manners. I just don't. There's so many other people that I could focus my energy on. And plus, yeah, I guess there is a little bit of an F you in there. My message is that, like, you know, like, people are going to drop you. If you're not going to take the time to actually have a relationship with people, people are going to drop you. Now, again, I want to go back to that benefit of the doubt thing. What if I made a mistake here? After all, like, I'm looking at all these emails that you haven't responded to, and again, I'm trying to reach out to you and ask you a question, nothing, and then now a few months later, it's still nothing. But what if now, very politely, I drop you? Now, I'm not going to send you an email saying, you've been dropped. You've been removed from Castain's. You've been banished, right? We voted you off the island. I'm not doing any of that. It's just goodbye. I get rid of you. We move on. If now, all of a sudden, down the line, I hear from you, which is very rare that I do, what I do have happen is that the same people who were blowing me off will then, a few months later, sometimes a little less, send me another request to connect on LinkedIn, and there'll be no note or anything like that. In that case, what I do, very politely, say I will answer them, and I'll say, you know, what prompted you to want to connect? Because, you know, if you scroll back and you look at all these emails that I sent you, I've never heard back from you. So I'm curious, why would we want to connect again? Did I miss something? And again, I want to be a little bit direct, not trying to be a dick here, But I want to very politely call out the behavior because, again, I'm sounding like a real social networking snob or purist or whatever it is. I just don't see the point in you and I being connected if we're not going to interact. Now, there is a final aspect of this, and it affects people like me who are putting out content out there. And if you're that type of person too who puts out a good amount of content on LinkedIn, there's a lot of people who feel, well, that's how I'll get to view the content by connecting with them or whatever. And the thing of it is they can follow your content without connecting with you. So if they know that all they're really there to do is to read your stuff and they just don't want to bother with having to answer you or like actually, God forbid, have a conversation with you or anything that would be remotely close to social on a social network, then what they can do, there's actually an option that you can do too if this is you. Instead of connecting with someone, you go to where it says connect and you'll see a little drop-down menu, a little arrow, drop-down menu. You click on that and you'll see, lo and behold, that there is an option to follow the person. Just click follow. Now you're following them. Now there's no obligation. You're just like, it's almost like the equivalent of like subscribing to someone's stuff. You don't owe them an obligation to respond to everything that they send you. So there you have it, folks. I mean, again, the whole purpose of the podcast today was to point out to you that you might be inadvertently giving your network the finger. You're not setting out to do it. That's why we said inadvertently. You don't, like, on your list of things to do, give my network the finger today. You're not, of course you're not doing that. But you might as well be doing that because it has the same effect. I also believe it's limiting your results. And to me, if you cannot be bothered with it, then I say you just like remove yourself from it and just put your efforts elsewhere. But I hope you don't. I actually hope that you'll put in the effort. I mean, some of these things I mentioned, like sending a resource, answering people, you know, like I don't think I outlined something that was real tedious, right? So the other part of it is that if you are connected with people who chronically give you the finger and never like respond to you, whatever, I think you have some decisions to make. And if you are going to make those decisions, I want you to give them the benefit of the doubt. I want you to realize that things happen and sometimes people can't get back to you, and be patient and maybe try the way that I outlined, where it'll take kind of a few months now and you're like reaching out to them and trying to get an answer from them, finally saying, hey, you know, are you still active here? And if they still don't, then it might be time to part ways. And again, I said to you that there is some harm, I believe. People say, well, what's the harm? And they look at it like, well, what does it really cost you to keep them there? I think it does cost you. That's where I've never agreed with those types. I do think it costs you. First of all, I do think there's a principle. Why would I possibly enable a shitty behavior on a platform that I love? Number one. Number two, I think it's a reflection of my character. If you're in my network and I'm connected with someone who just absolutely is just like non-responsive to people, it doesn't, like, they've completely forgotten the manners that mama taught them back when they were a little child, right? Like, why would I want to be connected with someone like that? I think it's limiting your results by having people in your network that just aren't going to understand give and take. And I also think it's going to take up time, energy, and resources, because if you're a person like me who actively reaches out to your network, then you have to continually climb over someone who's not going to respond to you to get to someone who might respond to you. To me, especially those of us who are busy, we don't have a lot of time for LinkedIn to begin with. And you know what? There's another reason that I didn't give before. And this is something that got me into a lot of trouble as a sales rep working for companies, is that, you know, like, companies would always be asking me for forecasts and everything else. And, you know, the story I always tell, and it is 100% true, is, which implies the other ones were bullshit, by the way, but yeah, this one is the one where I'm telling the truth. And what happened was, I'll never forget, man, we were getting reamed by, it was either the sales manager, or it might have been at a convention. I think it was at a convention that this happened. And they were like, you know, we want you know, things. We used to call it a hot list. And when it came time for the forecast and on the hot list, they wanted things that were like 80 to 90% or more, like highly probable. And they were questioning us left and right, and they were like, no, it has to be things that like almost absolute certainty, which you can almost hear the contradiction there. We went 80 to 90%. Now it's like 100%. It's got to be like gospel. Like, you know, this is it. And what I did was, not to be a smartass, but man, I got a lot of people angry at me. What I did was, as a sales rep, I shit-canned like the majority of like my forecast, because I mean, if this is what we're talking about, like, I don't want things on there that are like really like I should be saying amen after it. That even 80 to 90%, like I'm sitting there questioning if it's even that, and I've been trying to get a hold of them and nothing's happening. So I put things on there that like I had almost absolute certainty. And it turned out I went from this like 2-page forecast to like it's like 6 like opportunities. And I mean, people thought I was being a wise ass, which, yeah, I mean, like, could you imagine me being a wise ass? And like, I got in trouble with my sales manager and everything else, but I sold every one of them. So my whole thing right now, what does that have to do with my network? Nothing. It has nothing to do with my network. I just like to tell this story. But seriously, it actually does have to do with my network, because I'm a big believer in a real representation of whatever it is you're depending on. So if you're depending on your pipeline and your forecast or whatever it is, it really does need to be accurate. Screw the other people. You know, I don't really want to tell people what they want to hear. I want things so that when I give my word, people know they can take it to the bank. And it's the same thing with my network. To me, I only have in my network just a little bit shy now of about 5,100. That's it. And I've been networking on there for 10 years. There are people who will beat the hell out of me with the amount of people. They maxed out at their 30,000 probably 5 years ago, these people. I haven't ever. I think the most I ever got up to on LinkedIn was about 6,000. But I weed people out regularly. And it also gives me more time to focus on people who are actually serious on having a relationship. But here is my observation about having things that are real. If I'm looking at 5,100 or quote unquote connections on LinkedIn, and I know that 5,000 of them are going to inadvertently give me the finger, I would rather just know that I have 100 and know who those 100 are and get rid of the other 5,000 and focus on my 100. I guarantee you I would sell more than the 5,000 people I have. And there's people who are going to disagree with that. They say, but you get more exposure, this way, everything. I don't get exposure from people who are inactive on LinkedIn. I don't. I don't know how that plays into it. And there's some things, yes, with the algorithm that, yeah, that would prove me wrong. But I'm telling you, I would rather focus on what's real. Plus, it gives me reality. And if I'm looking at a network of 5,100 people and 5,000 of them are completely useless and don't respond to me, and I just don't have any kind of a chance with them, that's not reality. The other 100 are. So moral of the story is, don't go out and completely like, you know, like do a nuclear blast of your network. Just become mindful of like who's active, who isn't, who's responsive, and who isn't. And I would say spend the bulk of your time with those who get it, with those people who actually respond to you, who understand give and take, people who remember their manners. And that's all I have for you. Now, one last thing before you go. We have a webinar coming up, and it's how to leverage both your online and your offline network. It's going to be coming up this Thursday, August, and I almost said this Thursday, April, and I don't know what the hell I was thinking there. Seriously, this Thursday, August 23rd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. If you happen to listen to this after August 23rd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, you can still sign up by doing one of two things. So let me give you the link where you can learn more. If you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/networking, I take you through a whole communication plan. How, from the moment you connect with somebody, how you can communicate with them, kind of a, you know, a communication map, if you will. But also, how do we transition these people from the moment we shake hands and say, hey, how are you, and nice to meet you, transition them from a connection to a paid client? Because that's what we're really there for, right? Not a bunch of buddies, a bunch of people who are going to friend zone us, certainly not a bunch of people who are going to like blow us off and be non-responsive. How do we transition this into business without being salesy or sleazy or just like spammy or anything else? So if you'd like to learn more, go to yoursalesplaybook.com/networking. If you, again, listen to this after August 23rd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, or if you have any questions about this, please email me, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And with that, guess who I am? Paul from yoursalesplaybook.com. And I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.